All right, Acts chapter 27, going to break new ground. We are nearing the end of the book of Acts, and Linda, maybe you'll look it up for me. I think it's been about 3 years now, if I'm not mistaken, that we've been in the book of Acts, and it's been a good study. We still got a couple of chapters to go, and so I won't get the cart before the horse, but we'll be kind of deliberating on where to go after the book of Acts and see where we're going to study. Acts chapter 27, begin in verse 1. It says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into the ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched, when we had launched from thence, we sailed to Cyprus beside, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship, Alexandria, sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmon, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havings, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." Such a mouthful, and so many things said there, and the names I'm sure I didn't really do well at pronouncing. However, I will remind you that Paul is in custody. He's been detained because of accusations brought against him by the Jews in Jerusalem. This has been about 3 chapters ago that took place. His case has been heard by multiple people, as you know, over the course of the last few chapters. None of them could find any validity to the accusations that were brought against him. However, Paul, as a Roman citizen, appealed his case to Caesar. And because of that, it's required of those authorities now to make sure he gets to Rome where his case can be heard at Caesar's court. Had Paul not appealed to Caesar, he might have already been acquitted and let go. It's doubtful. We don't know. But God's in this, and God's in control of the situation. And God told him, "You're going to go to Rome safely." And so that's where we are there. And that is the reason for Paul being involved with this particular journey. Obviously, they didn't sail a ship just for Paul, but they did incorporate Paul into this journey. And these first eight verses that we have just read are really nothing exciting, but still, let me just note a few things regarding these verses. First of all, Luke is the author of the book of Acts, okay? The same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke, if you will, he is the writer of Acts, and he is with Paul on this journey. He uses the personal pronoun we. He uses it in a plural sense there in verse 1, and he is saying he's with Paul. So he sailed with Paul. Also, our text here mentions another one of Paul's comrades, Aristarchus. He's also with them. Now, he's another man that has been mentioned a couple of times here in the book of Acts, and also mentioned over in the book of Colossians. History teaches us. Now, we don't know much about Aristarchus other than he was a good, faithful servant alongside Paul on more than one occasion. History teaches that Aristarchus suffered martyrdom at the hands of Nero. Of course, obviously, sometime later in life, just as Paul did. So it's very likely, or it's without question, he's probably as he travels with Paul here, he's on his way to his death, because we know that Paul ultimately lost his life at the hand of Nero in Rome. And him traveling with Paul, if he did in fact lose his life, it was likely along, maybe not with Paul, but as basically the same results, okay? We don't know, but it's likely, okay? But the fact is that he and Luke, Aristarchus and Luke, are going on this journey with Paul, Paul being a prisoner, and this is going to be a difficult voyage. We're going to see that. And so it shows how devoted the two of them were to the Apostle Paul and his ministry, willing to travel with him through this, the course of being a prisoner on this ship, going all the way to Rome to stand trial, or at least to have his case heard before the Roman court. It's quite a commitment for these fellas, and they travel with him, along with, as our text tells us there, I believe it was in verse 1, that there are several other prisoners. We don't know how many, probably many, based on what we're going to see later on in the text. There were many, and they have been put under the care of one Julius. He is a centurion. That means that he is an officer that is over 100 Roman soldiers. He is put over given the oversight of these prisoners, of which Paul is one. Paul finds favor. It's pretty interesting. Paul finds favor with Julius. We see this in our text. And so when they stop over in Sidon, Paul is given leave to go and see his friends, those friends likely being Christians, okay? But Scripture doesn't say, but it's likely there was a church there, and that Paul was able to go. Verse 3 says that Julius gave him he courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. That word refresh simply means to receive care. So he's gone to receive care from his friends. What that care comes in the form of, likely, is that they provided Paul with provisions for the remainder of his trip. We don't know, but that it leans towards that, or that it carries that kind of idea of receiving care. But it's notable that Julius, a Roman centurion, probably not a Christian man, there's no indications that he is, has already taken a liking to Paul. So much so that he sticks his neck out in giving Paul liberty. Now, when they stop over, this is a ship of prisoners, or many prisoners are on there, and he gives Paul the liberty, it's kind of like going on furlough, if you will, to go and see his friends there in Sidon. He must have had a lot of faith in the Apostle Paul to have done that. If he were to lose Paul, say Paul fled or something along those lines, it would cost him his life, according to Roman authority, Roman law. If he was in charge of a prisoner and the prisoner was lost under his care or his oversight, he would lose his own life. And so there's so much for him to lose and really nothing for him to gain by allowing Paul to have this kind of liberty, but yet he did it anyway. We have to ask ourselves why. Well, we don't know exactly why, but the likely answer is this. Paul exercised the kind of leadership that commands respect and really commands trust in people. Paul, throughout all of his writings and his ministry, we see that Paul was just the kind of man that, in spite of the opposition from the religious Jews, was the kind of man that people could follow. And he always, we find this multiple times, that he has favor with the lost people. He has favor with the Roman authorities on each occasion that he deals with them. It's really, again, the religious Jews, the only ones he's really having problem with. And Paul just handled him such a way that handled himself in such a way that he had the respect of Julius. Paul always had the best interest of others in mind. Paul could be respected. He could be trusted. He cared for other people, and he would not dare compromise his integrity for personal gain, especially at the expense of someone else. So Paul wouldn't have dared fled and left Julius responsible for having lost him. And so it's pretty interesting. Paul has set quite an example, I think, for us. Though we may not be the great leaders that the Apostle Paul is, we can be known for that kind of integrity, that people just respect and know that we're going to do the right thing. And so there's so much more that can be learned from the Apostle Paul, as we'll see on this trip. The rest of this particular text, those first eight verses there, basically outside of what we just noted, are just kind of details of the trip. The stops, the delays, the layovers and such. Again, we're not going to rehearse each of those things, but we're going to pick up in verse 12 and read a few more verses. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, Julius, believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which Paul were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part, the majority, advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest." Now again, that's another mouthful. Let me just tell you what is taking place. They were held up. Verse 8 tells us that they'd found a place called Fair Havens. They had held up there waiting for the appropriate winds to travel on, and winds that would be favorable for their sailing. And they ended up waiting there so long that they reached a season in the year that sailing becomes dangerous. Now, verse 9 says that specifically, that the sailing was now dangerous. Luke details a little bit about that by saying the fast is already past. And without reading smarter people, I wouldn't even understand what that meant. But I've gathered that it's simply that reference to the fast was a reference to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement would have fallen in late September or early October. And so in ancient times, with the kind of ships and kind of vessels that they had, they don't have what we have today, okay? So the rules have changed. But having the kind of vessels that they had, any kind of sailing between mid-September and mid-October would have become very, very dangerous on open sea. Anything beyond mid-October through February, everything shut down. They just ceased to sail in open sea during those months. And so for them now to be at the time of September or October, based on the Day of Atonement, and still being willing to launch and sail, they're really sticking their neck out. And they're pushing it. Apparently, based on verse 10, there was some sort of discussion between the centurion, Julius, the Roman soldier, the owner of the ship, and the captain of the ship. Some sort of discussion. Paul was privy to that conversation. He weighed in and says, "Fellas, we don't really need to be doing this." Now, Paul, obviously he's not a captain of a ship, but if you were to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us over in verse chapter 11, or 2 Corinthians chapter 11, tells us that Paul's already been shipwrecked three times. So he has some experience. He's not likely looking for the fourth one. See? And so Paul says, "Guys, let's don't do this." And but obviously, as we just read there, the centurion didn't listen to Paul. He listened to the consensus of the ship owner. The consensus of the whole group was, "Let's launch." And so they did it at great risk. Paul's advice was not heeded. And in verse 11 tells us, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Let me also say to you that Paul advice did not just come from having been in three shipwrecks and done a lot of sailing. Paul was led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to find out that they're going to regret having not listened to the Apostle Paul in this circumstance, because there's a lot of things going to happen in the next chapter that obviously are going to be in everybody. There's going to be a shipwreck, folks, simply put, okay? So let's go ahead and close out right now. I really had some more notes, but I see about 30 young people in the foyer, so I trust that they have dismissed, and we dare not stay in here with them running around out there. So let's stand. Appreciate you guys so much. We'll pick up where we left off, and I'm going to have to get after our youth leaders and tell them to give us a little more time.